This podcast brought to you by Peterson Auto Group. With 5 stores and 10 brands and more than 1,800 new and used vehicles to choose from, Peterson Auto Group likely has your perfect car.
If you're talking about it,
they don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Let's take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KBOI.
Well, we're kind of sitting here watching people kick the crap out of everything in downtown Baltimore. Couple of stories going on right now, Chris.
Yeah.
In lists of give-a-dams, I want you to let me know which one you think is the most important.
Okay.
Or if you think they're of equal importance.
Okay.
And how they're being handled.
All right.
All right. Baltimore mayor is removing 4 Confederate monuments overnight. They've removed, I think, 2 or 3 of them, and they have a couple to go.
Within the city of Baltimore?
Within the city of Baltimore.
Okay.
All right. Fairly important.
Well, I guess there will be people who do not see that as a good move, and there will be other people who see it as a good move, so it's fairly controversial. So, yeah, I'd say reasonably important simply because it's controversial.
All right. The other story.
Mm-hmm.
President Trump says the North Korean regime was smart to back down on the missile threat and is saying more Chinese sanctions should slow down North Korea's weapons program,
mm-hmm.
and it's time to end the North Korea sanctions merry-go-round.
Okay.
Then he goes on to say North Korea is executing, torturing, and enslaving those who practice religion.
Yeah, they are a dictatorship.
Are you kicking the dog here?
Yeah.
Should you be too?
Well, he kind of does that. I mean, he doesn't mince words.
Yeah. But
obviously.
Doesn't it drive you just a little teeny bit crazy knowing that he's got...
Knowing that he's essentially insulting somebody who... We've just discovered has a nuclear weapon.
Yeah.
No, I don't suppose it really drives me crazy that he's doing what he wants. It always surprises me.
King Jong Il is,
yeah, it always,
is doing what Trump wants.
It always, well, yeah, that kind of surprises.
Now Trump is yapping at his, shut up.
But it sort of does surprise me when he'll goad somebody into something and then they'll do it, like you say, and then he continues to get after them for
that's
it.
That's what I'm talking about.
It's just because it's unusual, I think, for Washington, D.C. and the presidency. You know, people tend to trade favors and say, okay, you be nice to me, I'll be nice to you. One hand washes the other. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. And
it's like anti-diplomacy.
And other cliches as well.
Yeah.
But that's not really the way he does things, obviously. If he comes out and criticizes somebody, he just criticizes them straight from the hip. And you know, obviously, Kim Jong-un is one of those. On the other hand, you know, really, I mean, there's been a long history of diplomacy with those. There are like 9 nations in the world that actually have nuclear weapons. One of them is North Korea now, that we apparently have intelligence that says so. And there's been a long history of diplomacy among those nations simply because, you know, nobody wants anybody to get mad, push a button, and kill a whole bunch of people. So
which is still a possibility.
On the other hand, he called their bluff last week, and I guess it turned out they were bluffing. Or let's put it this way, I hope it completely turns out that they were bluffing.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, it's not my style personally. It's obviously his. It's how he won the election. You know, I wasn't a big fan, you know, during the election.
No.
Wasn't a big fan of Hillary Clinton either. So, you know, come November, I was wondering what the heck I was going to do.
Yeah, we were both compromised pretty good.
Yeah. And it was just kind of interesting. And they showed some studies about how he actually won the debates. And what they did is that they took the same words that were said by Hillary Clinton and by Donald Trump. and they reversed them and had a woman saying the stuff that Donald Trump said and a man saying the things that Hillary Clinton said. And in those debates, you clearly saw that the woman was just kicking the guy's rear end. And I think there are a lot of people that went into those debates thinking, well, you know, here's a guy with no political experience. It doesn't matter what he says. I'm not going to pay much attention to it. And there were plenty of other people that didn't see it that way. So, you know, the doubters and whatnot, I mean, they're 6, 7, 8 months later, they're still doubting. But, you know, so far he's still president, which is what I would say.
Yeah, and that's by far the more dangerous thing going on here, I think.
The fact that they have nuclear weapons in North Korea.
And
they also, I mean, they threatened, and it was kind of weird because you thought Kim Jong-un was making the threat that he was going to, test missiles and send them, within a couple of miles of Guam.
Sure.
Which is, it's a threat because we have two air bases on Guam. Guam is a U.S. protectorate. It's U.S. territory. And people always say it's where the U.S.'s day begins because,
right.
It's on the other side of the international dateline.
But they say, okay,
a few days after saying that was going to happen,
yeah,
all of a sudden they say, yeah, we're going to take this idea and put it past Kim Jong-un and see if he likes it. So apparently he had nothing to do with it,
yep.
Which people don't think that's the case in North Korea. They assume anything that comes out of there, the dictator is the one that decides. But this apparently was a military threat, a military decision, and then they ran it past fearless leader. And I guess somebody at some point was smart enough to say, you know, hey, as it turns out, they have a lot more weapons than we do. So let's try not, to get this country blown off the map, so to speak. KBOY News time is 8:45.
You're listening to Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. and Chris. Rush Limbaugh comes up at 10 on 670 KBOY.
Top of the morning, Paul, Jane, Chris, on a Wednesday morning.
Got an instant message here from Dave of Boise. He says, I think it's a travesty when we lose any U.S. monument. He wanted to talk about the monuments. Just think if they were taken down because they were vandalized, they would have been replaced immediately. There are plenty of things this country has done that is an embarrassment. Are we going to continue to hide all our controversial acts throughout our history? Like it or not, it's part of what we are as a country. I think we should own up to it and keep our monuments no matter who it offends.
That's a popular argument right now.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about it?
I don't know. I mean, there are several ways you can look at the Civil War. And one is that there are monuments in this country to people who were on the losing side,
yep,
which was also the side that Lincoln considered to be treasonous. Also the side that was pro-slavery,
mm-hmm.
All things that we kind of
abhor
now. I don't know. On the other hand, these were guys who in some way were military heroes. But as I said, they were military heroes, not for the United States technically, but for the Confederacy. However, at the time, a bunch of states were the Confederacy. So I don't know. People in the South who have grown up there and whose parents and grandparents have lived there have a certain... You know, they have a certain way of looking at it. And of course, I've lived my entire life in Idaho. And so
yeah,
I have a different way of looking at it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if there would be some kind of a similar thing for Idaho. Now, we have a Chief Joseph memorials and things like that. And I suppose you could say that we were at war with the Indians at one point, or you could simply say that white people came in and moved out the Indians and killed a bunch of them and whatnot. But regardless of how you decide to look at that, again, you have a monument to somebody who was essentially against what the United States was doing at the time, right or wrong. But I don't think it's quite the same thing because people don't look upon the Indians necessarily the same way simply because they weren't the ones that enslaved black people. So
it's hard for white people to understand.
Well, I think it might be, yeah.
Yeah, how black people feel
about this,
about their history in this country.
Well, and there's another part of it, too, especially with the number of black people who live in the South, that to them it's a constant reminder that there are still white people who would prefer it if slavery still existed and the Confederacy still existed, and they don't care for the reminder every day. But I don't know. You know, it's not an easy problem simply because it's not a particularly easy thing, I don't think. I would probably be on the side of getting rid of them, to tell you the truth, simply because of, you know, the fact that it's like David said on Monday. He pointed out that there are very few places where you're on the losing side in a war and they let you put up monuments.
That's true.
But is a civil war the same thing?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I don't know where you make that call.
And of course, it depends a lot of times on how you look at things. Like, there are some people who don't like the fact that there's a street at Boise State named after Cesar Chavez.
Right.
Because they don't agree with what he was doing, or they think that's un-American or whatnot. But then there are other people who think it's fantastic. So, you know, naming things after certain people.
You always open this door.
Well, yeah.
And it's not immediate most times. Yeah. It comes back and bites it down the road somewhere,
mm-hmm.
which is what's happening with these statues.
Now, Deanna of Meridian wrote in to say, typical of the news media and KBOI, you people are so filled with hate that nothing the president could or will do is good enough for you. It amazes me that you call yourself journalists. Seems a little harsh, but I suppose fair.
It amazes me that you're so amazed.
I guess.
Now, why are we...
I think she was actually, this came in a little bit ago, so I think she was reacting to the 8:15 of the 8:16 newscast along in there, but I'm not sure. It was probably something having to do with his remarks yesterday.
Mm.
I don't think it was either you or I who said it, so.
Oh.
And then Mike wrote in to say, you know, we did the story about the rare white moose that was found, and he said, white moose are racist and will have to be removed. But he's having some fun.
We're not even having statues of white moose.
No, probably not. For those of you who didn't hear that story, they have discovered several white moose lately, and people are getting pictures of them. And right now on YouTube, there's a terrific film that somebody took.
It's in Finland.
Of a white moose.
Yeah.
It's 8:56. We'll be back.
If you're talking about it,
they don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Well, take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KBOI.
Well, a little grooming going on in Baltimore. They removed all Confederate statues now overnight. University of Florida.
That's probably less like grooming and more like just getting your head shaved, isn't it?
Yeah. University of Florida has blocked a white nationalist speaker, and the man who carried the torch at Charlottesville has gotten fired.
Hmm.
Makes no apology for carrying. He's a Vermont guy. Ryan Rohr.
You know, and it's funny. This is probably the one subject that I can think of where, you know, you can go to a rally and you can state your opinion and you can do all these things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not really so much of a free speech issue, even though to some people it is, you know, because it's like we've said about
some truth.
The whole reason for the First Amendment, including free speech, is to protect unpopular speech. Because if you're up there saying, hey, I think everybody should have food and money and this is great, you know, probably nobody's going to disagree with you and tell you to shut up. But if you're up there saying, you know, hey, the white people should be in charge and we don't like this and we don't like that and we want to take back, you know, what we had, that is going to be completely unpopular with a large percentage of the people. But essentially, it's protected free speech. However, they're getting them on things like the hate crimes and advocating violence and you know, those things that tend to go along with white nationalism and white supremacy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people are all over the president simply because they're looking at it as a fairly simple issue, which is Nazis yes or Nazis no. And, you know, when
is it that simple, though?
Well, no, clearly it's not to an awful lot of people, but to some people it is. It's simply, okay, is this right or wrong? Well, it's wrong. Well, then, you know, denounce it. Well, blah, blah, blah. But if it is that simple, I mean, yes, Nazis, yes or no, I'm going to go with no. KKK, yes or no, I'm going to say no. White supremacy, yes or no, how about no? White nationalism, yes or no, no. Okay, that's a fairly easy thing, probably for most people. with the exception of maybe the people who are white nationalists and whatnot.
Yeah.
However, you know, free speech, yes or no? Well, yes, I do like free speech. Well, is it okay for people to get up and say things that you don't like? Well, that kind of is the whole point of, you know, having free speech. But on the other hand, this seems to be the issue where people draw the line and say, okay, free speech is one thing. On the other hand, you know, saying that we should go back to the slavery days or saying that we should use violence against other people, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All of that doesn't necessarily apply, according to a lot of people. So.
Okay, we do have a phone caller.
Okay.
Chris on.
Steve.
Oh, Steve.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
I'm Chris. That's how you.
You're Chris.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Steve on the line. Steve, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, Steve.
Okay, Chris.
Yeah.
The extension of what you were saying.
Uh-huh.
Islam, yes or no?
Yeah, okay, now there you go right there. Freedom of religion, yes or no? Yes, freedom of religion is good. Islam, yes or no? Well, I don't know. It makes me nervous. Okay, terrorism, yes or no? No, terrorism, no. You know, all that stuff.
See, and that's the thing. When you start legislating emotion, it's too fickle. I mean, it can change on a dime.
Yeah.
And that's why emotion has to be taken out of this whole conversation. And the
is that possible, Steve?
No, it's not. And
I don't think
problem.
So either.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
You can't take emotion out of this. And here's what I want to see. I want to see the economy of it. If somebody wants to take down a statue, fine. You lose 10 times what was put into that statue in your next budget. And it doesn't come out of the taxpayer's expense to remove it. It comes out of your pocket to remove it if you want to move it.
That's the rule that you would propose.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, I mean, this has to have economic effect. Otherwise, where does it end? You know, at all points, it comes down to the money.
Well, and okay,
and
I know what the president said yesterday. He says, "Where does it end? You know, do you take down Jefferson and Washington, etc." Now, in my mind, it ends with the losing side on the Civil War. However, as somebody pointed out, actually, the president even said it yesterday. He said, "You know, Washington and Jefferson owned slaves. Is that enough reason to take down the monuments to them?" And
who lost the Civil War?
That would be
Was there a political party involved? Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
So do we do away with that party? I mean, that's the question here. That's what's going on.
The parties, since that time, the parties have kind of
switched,
flip-flopped, which they did in the mid-1960s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because the Democrats were the ones who said states' rights, which essentially meant, you know, if we want to have segregation, we should still be able to have it. And the Republicans said, no, that's not the way that's supposed to work. And then it switched kind of in the 60s to where the Republicans now at least are viewed as a little more hardcore toward let's, you know, keep things the way they've always been, and the Democrats are more, no, let's change everything.
Yeah, and see, that's where the Constitution comes to play,
mm-hmm.
and that's what makes a country. I mean, if you're going to change, you know, political views every 20 years, you don't have a country.
Well, you still do. I mean, one of the things we do in this country is we do argue about stuff all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, constantly, you know, we argue and argue and argue. And one of the greatest lines, I think, ever from a movie was from Dances with Wolves, where the old Indian chief, they're talking about something and they're arguing. And he says, "This is an interesting problem and a very difficult one. We will talk some more."
Yeah.
And he says,
in
the meantime, here, smoke this, which is what a lot of states are doing now.
Yeah.
Yes. Hey, good discussion, guys.
Well, you betcha.
Thanks, Steve.
But yeah, these things are not easy problems simply because, you know, some of the people say, well, it should be this way. And other people say, well, it should be this way. And the Constitution says one thing, but the state constitution might say another. Mm-hmm. And you might interpret what it says in the Constitution differently. People certainly interpret.
We haven't talked about interpretation.
Well, yeah, people certainly interpret the whole, bare arms thing. Some people say, no, it's just a militia and it should be run by the state. Other people say, no, it's a militia and anybody can be a militia.
Mm-hmm.
And other people say, no, the whole point of a militia is that you're ready to go in case the army fails. So It's what we do in America. We argue about stuff.
Yep.
And we generally always have people on all sides of an issue.
Yeah.
And I don't say both sides, because often there are clearly more than simply two sides to an issue.
No question. All right, let's take a break. We'll be back. KBOI News Time, 9:14.
Remember, you are listening to Paul, Jay, and Chris on 670 KBOI.
All right, so we are back. KBOI News Time, 9:19. Got a lot of phone calls.
Okie doke.
Do some damage. Go to John. John, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Can you hear me? I was on speakerphone for a second.
Yep, we got you.
Hey, you know, did I hear you correctly? The losing side probably shouldn't have monuments put up, or we don't do that, or what was the meaning?
That was the opinion the other day. They said generally if two sides are in a war and one side wins, the other side loses, the side that loses, you know, doesn't get monuments to their side, but...
Like Chief Joseph.
Well, I mentioned Chief Joseph, yeah.
Yeah, that should be taken down because he lost.
Well,
there's an example of a monument of
That's why I said it's kind of a paradox, because we look at Chief Joseph as maybe somebody who got the shaft now, and so, you know, that wasn't fair. So we keep up the monuments, you know, based on, I guess, you know, the...
I personally don't know where to stand on the monuments, other than I don't think we had better forget our history at all, and this is the first step of wiping that out. Is that, like you brought up Auschwitz the other day, they left that up there because we don't want to forget. And there are people today that deny that ever happened. How dangerous it is to try to erase physical history. And the third thing, you mentioned, oh my gosh, I forgot what it was already. Oh my goodness.
Well, I said KKK bad, Nazis bad.
Yeah.
And then Steve, who called, said, you know,
history. You said the Republican Party and the Democratic Party had flipped. You know, the
well,
Republican
not,
Party
not,
started.
Not completely, but when it comes to things like the whole, you know, the Democrats at one time, they're considered now to be okay. You know, help the immigrants. You know, anybody come into the country, you know, give them money or whatever. That's kind of looked at as more of a Democrat thing than a Republican thing, obviously.
Well, no, that's not what's happening.
Oh, okay.
You're missing the point.
Okay.
The Democrat Party was started to ensure that we could keep our slaves.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about too. Yeah.
And LBJ, you know, started, you know, human quote unquote civil rights legislation, not for civil rights. He did it for votes. He said he was going to have those, you know, N-word people voting for Democrats for the next 200 years. There is no attempt to be civil rights minded by the Democrat Party. That's all a facade put up, and they've never changed. Larry Bird, and I don't even watch basketball.
Robert Bird,
Robert Bird. And George Wallace, and these people have not changed. They're sitting back, biding their time. Well, Robert Byrd has changed, I'm sure.
Yeah.
They're biding their time until they can come into power again, and they're doing it by trying to get votes, bringing people across the border illegally.
Okay.
Those are Democrat voters. That's what this is all about.
Well, I realize it's kind of a cynical view, but I agree with it, that mostly politicians don't do something for purity or for pure reasons. You know, if any, that they do it simply to get votes or to get money to get votes or to get votes to get money.
Just don't forget history. The Democrat Party is the party of the KKK was the strong arm of the Democrat Party.
Right.
That's all it was. And so what it is today, just put some sugar on it.
Yeah, well, yeah, Abraham Lincoln, you know, it was the first Republican president, and he said free the slaves. And for years, the Dixiecrats or Democrats said, no, we want to have states' rights and do what we want. I mean, they weren't planning to go back to slavery, but what they wanted to do was keep segregation going to where, you know, we can't have slaves, so they can't even live anywhere near us.
Right. All right, you guys, have a good day.
All right, you too. And Patrick of Caldwell wrote in on the very similar, we have our word of the day?
Right.
Is removal. Okay, removal, as in removal of the statues. Patrick of Caldwell says, and this goes along with that, he says, hey guys, Chris, you said KKK no. So please refer to the wiki link attached, which contains a list of places that need to be renamed as their namesake founded a chapter of the KKK. The KKK is a repugnant organization, and we should cleanse the nation of any reference to it or any reference to anyone associated with it. I sent the link because there are too many to list in an instant message. And essentially, it says list of places named after Robert Byrd, and we just mentioned Robert Byrd in that last call. Well, yeah. At first he said Larry Byrd, but he changed it to Robert.
Let's go to Richard Boise. Rich.
Well, that last guy was completely wrong. The Democrats, when Johnson got the Civil Rights Bill passed, that's when the South turned Republican. That was the start of it. It had been Democrats since Lincoln, when Lincoln freed the slaves, they hated the Republicans. And when the Democrats gave them civil rights, then they changed back to Republican. And that's just exactly what happened. You can't sugarcoat that. And you can't make up.
So you agree more with what I said before, that it just kind of flip-flopped in the 1960s.
Well, yeah, it did. It wasn't all the Democrats. The Southern Democrats were the racists, the Northern and the rest of them were. But the Southern Democrats were.
Yeah, the ones they called the Dixiecrats.
Yeah, but when the Democrat Party passed civil rights, that's when the South turned back to being Republican. Yeah.
Guys like
they became Democrats when Lincoln freed the slaves. They called them Blue Dog Democrats because they'd vote for a Democrat if it was a blue dog. And
did quite understand that?
Now those racist groups, they make up the basics of the Republic. They make up the Republican base now. Yeah, it did switch, but. What Trump got wrong, or I don't know if he knows any history at all, really. I'm not sure what he does, but he was comparing George Washington and Thomas Jefferson to Robert E. Lee. Well, here's the difference. George Washington and Thomas Jefferson were founders of this country. Robert E. Lee was a traitor. He, by all rights, him and Jefferson Davis should have been hung after the Civil War. They weren't just a losing side. They were traitors to the United States. Johnson did want to hang Robert E. Lee. Grant opposed it because he didn't want him to be a hero. Mm. But they were insurgents. They were insurgents. They were terrorists. They were trying to destroy the Union.
All right,
They're not American heroes.
Okay,
heroes.
We got to get to the news. Appreciate your call. It is 9:26. We'll be back.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul Jay and Chris. More local talk with Nate Shellman is live this afternoon at 3 on 670 KBOI.
KBOI News Time, 9:37. Got lots of folks on the phone. Let's go to Jackie of Payette. Jackie, good morning.
Good morning, Paul. I have a poem to share with you. I wrote it in April of 1999.
Okay.
Title is Quiet Disobedience. To all, whatever your race, color, or creed, dare to take heed of those who have stood in quiet disobedience just as the rest of us should. We must not allow the engagement of a new civil war, a cultural war, to hijack our birthright to think and say what is in our hearts. We must still trust the pulsing lifeblood of liberty inside of all of us. That is what made this nation arise from the wilderness it once was. Today's political correctness infringes on my rights and yours, our freedom of speech and thought. Freedom to write, freedom to see and feel and know what is right. Those in control, the liberal media, are throwing the blame, passing the buck, of our children's woes and violence on those who manufacture or own guns. Whose fault is it really? Those who push political correctness, this mindless cultural revolution? Hug a child and you can be charged with sexual harassment. Dare to discipline, teach respect, only to be accused of abuse. What about prayer in public schools? They say it is unconstitutional. I doubt that. show me where the original document says that. I choose to stand, and I hope you will too, in quiet disobedience. Children today complain that saluting the flag and pledging their allegiance to this republic is just another form of brainwashing. Yes, they are right. Brainwashing of this mindless, politically correct cultural revolution. Stand firm, guard your constitutional rights, because there are those who would abolish amendments one by one. If one is lost, soon another until all are gone, our freedoms being forever lost. Follow in the hallowed footsteps of the great disobedience of history. Disobedience that freed exiles, founded religion, defeated tyrants, and yes, in the hands of an aroused rabble in arms and a few great men, by God's grace, built this country. This was inspired by the then president of the NRA, Charlton Heston, and his speech to the Harvard Law School Forum in February of 1999, and the title of his speech was Winning the Cultural War.
Good stuff, Jackie.
Say again.
Good stuff. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right.
All right. Marco Boyce, he says, how can you be threatened with a nuclear missile without changing your alert level? Maybe it's time for Guam to rethink the alert system.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be in Guam. I'm so gutless. Let's go to John of Boise.
Okay.
Hello?
Yes, you're on, John.
Well, I noticed that, you know, this whole thing happened or started at the University of Virginia, whose football team is playing BSU next month at Bronco Stadium.
Correct.
And I can't help wondering, is there added weight now because of that? Is it going to inspire demonstrations? Are they possibly going to do a moment of silence for the people who were killed before the game starts? I just wonder what the publicity is really going to be like.
How did you tell?
Huh? Yeah, I know. It's a month out, but still.
Yeah, my guess is because this happened now, and the game is still a month away, that there probably won't be much mention of it at the time. And also because it's in Boise and not in Charlottesville.
Yeah, well, there's also the thing about Idaho has kind of an image problem with Nazis, which is undeserved. But
well, that was part of the news this morning, is somebody did a rating of all the states. And it basically it was based on the number of what they call hate groups in the states compared to the population of the state. And they had Montana as the worst, Idaho the second worst, and then I think the rest of the top five were in the South.
Yeah. So, anyway, yeah, I still think it's I'm still going to be watching the publicity about this and just to see.
Well, it could be interesting.
It'll be interesting.
Right, because I know last year, I guess you remember last year they played at Virginia and it was a big blowout.
Yep.
But I just wonder what's going to happen this time. Because of all the publicity, it wouldn't surprise me if there's kind of a bit more angst about it. I mean, I know the football team doesn't have anything to do with it, but still, you know, I can't help thinking there's going to be something.
Yeah. Might be right. All right, John, thank you. WBY News Time, 9:43.
Oh, yeah, let's get to a break. We'll be back.
Live. This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 3, listen to Nate on 670 KBOI.
Okay, it's me.
Hello.
Not really. All right, so we are back. KBOI News Time is 9:49. Let's go to Rick. Rick, good morning.
Morning. The fellow and Rich, I think, had it both right in a sense. The Republicans are the party of the of Lincoln, but they're not of the mindset of Lincoln. And Rich had it right when he said that the Democrats were the conservative party until, I think really FDR changed some of that. The most racist, white supremacist president we've ever had was probably Woodrow Wilson, and he was a Democrat. So it's confusing in a sense because the parties have flip-flopped, but there's a consistency that the people that wanted to keep things the same, keep slavery, keep from changing things, were the conservatives, and they were the Democrats in the South, the conservative Democrats, the Blue Dog Democrats. Mm-hmm. The ones that push for change are the liberals or the progressives. We need both so that when we as a country move, we move with surety that the where we're moving is the correct way. So there has to be a balance. But what happens now, and it's on this station too, not you guys, but there are people you hear a lot of things about. Trust me. Do not doubt me. Believe me.
Yeah.
Those are the people that should not be trusted, should be doubted, and should not believed until you check it out yourself and find out what truth is. So, when people say that it was the Democratic Party that didn't vote for that's true. They were the conservatives. So, and the Democratic Party is not there now. So the name Republican Democrat has to do with a current time right now. The liberal and conservative stays consistent, though. So I think it's more correct.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that.
Still, thank you.
Yeah, and during the time of the civil rights legislation in 1964, the Republican Party in both the House and the Senate, the version that ended up passing, they voted for it with more than 80% of their vote. Now, it was split on both the Democrats and the Republicans, but not split right down the middle.
Mm-hmm.
The Republicans, about 80% of them voted for it, and roughly 20% or slightly less than 20% in both the House and Senate voted against it. And with the Democrats, about 60 to 65% of them voted for it, and 35 to 40%, and like I said, mostly the Dixiecrats voted against it. And they didn't mind the idea of civil rights, but they still thought that segregation should be allowed. And the civil rights legislation that Kennedy had proposed, that Johnson, during his presidency was actually passed, that said that no segregation, there's not a separate, the Plessy versus Ferguson does not apply here. Separate versus equal is not separate but equal is not a thing.
Yeah.
Because you can't be separate and equal, apparently. So,
back to the phone. At least that's the theory.
Yeah.
Mike Boise. Mike.
Good morning. I've got a little perspective on the monuments and statues of the Confederacy. There's been surveys that show there are about 700 of them scattered mostly throughout the South.
Sure.
And the first one to Jefferson Davis was put up, raised 10 years after the Civil War. In the capital, Richmond. 100,000 people showed up for that. And the photos of that in the newspaper today show people with white hoods on, honoring that great event. Then there was a real lull until the late 20s and 30s when a whole bunch more, the vast majority, were constructed throughout the South.
And as the previous caller pointed out, that was right after the It was after World War I, but it was also right after the Woodrow Wilson administration.
Yes, and it was also during the recession, the great recession. So what do we have now? We had a great depression, and what happened? We now have this resurrection of white supremacy, and these statues are not about hailing war heroes; they're honoring white supremacy as a concept, as an ideology. And that's why they need to be removed from public and kept in a museum on display. And in fact, I'd have a great, I think a great idea is to remove them and replace them with memorials and statues honoring our acceptance of all races and religion.
That seems like a great idea. And what you said, I think a lot of people are thinking, you remove the statue and you simply destroy it. However, what you said is a good idea. There are Civil War museums, and there are museums of all over the South. And what you do is you remove them, you put them in the museums to show what people used to think. But you just don't necessarily have them in the public square where it seems like your city government is all for this stuff.
One of the most impressive things I've seen in my life is Stone Mountain, Georgia. I mean, and it's...
Well, they've been talking about it the last few days, too.
Size of a football field.
Near Atlanta.
Yeah.
Am I still on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I think the main point, or one of the main points is, don't get confused. These statues and memorials are not about honoring war heroes or honoring and promoting white supremacy. And that's why they need to go.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Let's see. Curtis says, I find it so interesting how we get so angry at these groups when, lest we forget, our ancestors did that and worse to the native peoples of this land by enslaving, torturing, raping in all-out genocide. I guess there was a little Hitler in our ancestors. Jane Aboyce, he says it was the Republicans that passed the civil rights bills in 1964, not the Democrats. And I think we talked about that. It was a larger percentage of Republicans. Gary of Emmett says, many people certainly don't study history. You are the exceptional ones as radio talk show hosts and remind those who don't of things, and so do many callers. When I hear Democrats talk about civil rights, I cringe because many of the contemporary leaders of the Democrat Party were formative youths when their party was the race party. And he goes on, but we are out of time.
KBOI News Time, 9:55. See you tomorrow.